Acts 17, 16 through 34. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" And others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities." Because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and they brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you're very religious. For I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We'll hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among those whom also were Dionysus the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them."
The word of the Lord. Thomas Nelson, what a passage.
I mean, this is gold.
Have you been to the Areopagus? Have you been to Athens?
No, I haven't.
I've been there. It's a big rock. It's like a big rock underneath the Parthenon.
Okay.
But it's kind of, there's a place that's kind of amphitheater-ish. I mean, you can kind of see, like you can kind of be like, okay, I see what would happen here. There's like, it's like a big rock outcrop or whatever. And then there's this like kind of, you know, like there's like a rock area where you would imagine somebody would have stood. And then like this kind of huge area where you could probably imagine, I don't even know how many people were there that day, but you can imagine maybe 200 folks kind of sitting and listening.
Yeah.
I was thinking as you were reading, like, I guess the internet, like what live place is the Areopagus today? Like where do people go to like work out ideas today? I mean, the bar maybe is the Areopagus.
Yeah. The gym maybe, but much...
The water cooler.
Smaller, more isolated though, right?
In olden towns, like so for example, there's a town east of Atlanta called Social Circle.
Oh yeah, I've been to Social Circle.
Yeah, you've been to the Blue Willow Inn? That's where you go out there.
I apparently haven't been enough to Social Circle then.
Okay, well, so the Blue Willow Inn is this like old restaurant out there, okay, that everybody goes to. That is actually beside the point. But the reason that it is called Social Circle is that there was a well in the middle of town and everyone would come into the well to draw water. And so I imagine that, okay, so they like would form a circle around the well, yeah, and talk, thus Social Circle. So I do feel like our society used to have some more kind of rhythms, like where we would just come to share and work out ideas. I can imagine Paul showing up to the Social Circle in Social, yeah, Circle. You know, today it's kind of hard to imagine, like, where would he do this outside of, you know, outside of the internet? But yeah, it's just interesting to think about, like, this place where people were going to share ideas, talk about real meaning and the nature of life. And then this guy shows up and says, hey, look, I got some real answers. And they're obviously intrigued. So yeah, what are your thoughts on the passage?
I mean,
some are intrigued, I'll say.
Yeah, some are. And a couple of believers come out of it. I mean, the low-hanging fruit is just, to me, that Paul was always looking for those opportunities. He passed that statue and he was like, oh, there it is. I'll tell him about the unknown God.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, and he uses, you know, their own philosophers. He uses some of their own language.
Right.
But he delivered with such confidence. And I wonder if those other guys, as they were working out these ideas, had as much confidence. He was very confident in sharing Jesus, relating it to this unknown God, and he kind of let the chips fall where they may afterwards.
I like that. This passage actually, I think, has been a help to me just even in thinking about how do I preach. I mean, we just talked about this. I think one of the problems with Christian preaching today is that in this desire to be very literal in our interpretation of the text, we actually become like less literal in our interpretation, less, you know, true to the text, meaning that there's some bigger ideas that are going on. So for example, like, you know, when Paul is addressing circumcision, in the church, you know, I don't think, for example, like in Galatians, you know, there's not a lot of people at Christ's Covenant that are seeking justification through circumcision.
It's not a big conversation.
Right. Yeah. I haven't heard that conversation yet, right? Yeah. But there are people that may be seeking justification through like Christian obedience or through moralism. Mm-hmm. There may be people that are seeking justification through their like secular success. There may be people that are seeking justification by like having a good family or whatever it is. And that's the kind of thing that I want to address, speak to, and point them to Christ. And so I think that's kind of what Paul is doing here. He's figuring out, okay, where are these people's hearts, right? Mm-hmm. This is Athens. This is not Jerusalem, right? They're not sitting around arguing about the Mosaic law.
Right.
And so he finds where they are, and then he brings them to Jesus, who, because he's the savior of Israel, is actually the savior of the whole world.
Yeah, I love it. Those Romans were wrestling with those deep questions of where do we come from? What's the meaning of life? And he just, you're exactly what you're saying. He hits it. He says, hey, look, life and breath, everything. We came from one man and one nation. And he goes all the way back to the source and then draws it. You know, their ears were listening.
Right.
They were like, oh, these are questions we've been asking. And then he brings it all the way into Christ. And he kind of puts a hard sell on at the end. He says, and by the way, one day there's going to be a judgment for everyone. And he's okay with, I've won them over. They're listening. I'm going to tell them the truth.
That's right. He's very contextual, even though he does, but it's not like a watered down gospel, right? He meets them in their context and then points them to real truth. And even the resurrection, they're like, what are you talking about? You know, they don't even like, you know, are you serious? A resurrection? Are we kidding ourselves here? I mean, they're mocking him. But of course, it's not all for naught. You know, people believe. And ultimately, a church is formed in Athens. And so, praise God for that.
Influential one, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, awesome. Right.
Well, for Thomas Nelson, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737. Or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.